This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Congratulations to our own Hugh Douglas on his entrance into the Black Football College Hall of Fame.
Hugh Douglas's return to Philadelphia has been so smooth, it's as though he never left. His icon status went unchanged in his absence.
All through his career, especially in Philadelphia, Hugh Douglas was just a beast coming off the edge, always a problem. The one thing that I remember most about him, his motor.
You know what the great part about this is? Everybody accepts me like I continue to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What Douglas desires most is a championship ring. Just ask opposing quarterbacks. Hugh Douglas usually gets what he wants.
Can you dig it, baby?
Congratulations, Hugh, from all of us at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Guys, we want...
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is. Rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dang computer. Guys, we want to send out a big congratulations to Big Hugh Douglas. You just heard the sounder there and certainly the montage. He had a terrific NFL career, but before all of that, it was at Central State where it started for him, and he is being inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame. It's actually happening at the Georgia, or should I say the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Mike. And it's going to be presented by the Atlanta Falcons, February 16th, which obviously is this weekend, which the induction ceremony takes place. So, listen, we can tell you story after story about what kind of guy this dude is. If you listen to the morning show, you get a sense of his personality and what kind of man he is. And, you know, I know his kids and certainly more about his background, I think, than most. And I'm just speaking from my experience with Hugh. Just love the guy, man. And I'm happy for him and certainly his career being recognized here with the induction. So congratulations, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, what Carl said. He's a great teammate because, you know, people wonder what goes on here. Sometimes you guys all hang out. Well, sometimes we get to it. And Hugh is just a big old teddy bear, great guy. Everybody loves the man. And I got a hats off to our boss, Terry Fox, Carl, our supervisor, for having the vision to bring Big Hugh down here, man.
I agree. The vision is what it's about, Mike.
I said, back to Hugh. No, he's just a great dude. What does Hugh Douglas look like? Is he big? Yes.
Yes, he is.
Is he black? Yes. Is he bald? Yes.
So, yeah, man, Hugh, have a good time.
Pulp Fiction reference, Hugh, if you're listening.
Guys are already out there on the Twitter saying what's your suit game going to look like. Mm. So they're already taking bets on that, and I'm not involved with that. Give me 10 on that, please. But I just want you to know that we expect you to look the part, man, and have fun with it. So congratulations to Hugh Douglas. With that, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. We got a couple of things that we do want to get to before we start talking about the Dogs and letting you hear from Anthony Edwards, the number one player in high school, coming out, and he's going to go to Georgia, and he'll tell you why he chose Athens. But before we get to that, the big story today, and there's a couple of stories that are looming in the world of baseball.
Still no action as far as the big names real quick. Machado, obviously, linked to San Diego if you've been following that. And then also, guys, the Phillies, there were reports it was going to go down. It hasn't gone down between Bryce Harper and Philadelphia. And there are also rumors that a lot of guys have reached out to us, Carl, on social media. He's put them up. See Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL, about the reports that Craig Kimbrell is in Orlando. And there's only about, 10 baseball teams within an hour's drive. But I know that a lot of people waiting to see if the Braves have signed Kimbrell. There's nothing official on that either.
Yeah, and we're keeping our eyes out. Listen, that's the one. If you go back and you follow us on Twitter, you know that I put that out there probably sometime last week. It just makes sense. I would love for him to do it. To me, that shores up your bullpen. If you're going to say, well, Dukes, you're not going to go get a number one starter, no, because you're shortening games by shoring up your bullpen if you want to go do that. The Red Sox came out, Mike, and said they weren't going to pay him. Dave Dombrowski, the general manager, basically came out on WEEI and said, we're not going to have him back. We feel comfortable with the guys we have. So he is available. This is a guy that still, in my opinion, Mike, can get the job done. And I've been saying this. Okay, so who you want closing? Kimbrel or Vizcaino?
Oh, I want Kimbrel.
Hands down.
I mean, I like the way because Minter's now in the seventh, Viz in the eighth,
there you
and Kimbrel in the ninth. And because our pitchers can barely get to six and a third as it is, that's a really good setup. That makes everything we talked about with Dave O'Brien, if you heard the conversation yesterday or earlier in the last hour, that it just beefs up your bullpen. So even though Kimbrel was probably a little overused and really, you know, worn down by the time the World Series came around, I'd still take him in a heartbeat. Would you?
I would, and that's my point. I mean, that is what you're talking about. Now there's a system, Mike, in place where you have a legitimate setup guy getting to your closer. Either way, we hope it will happen, but there is no official news. So that's on the baseball front. On the football front, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed have settled grievances with the NFL. It is subject to a confidentiality agreement, but basically this collusion situation that Kaepernick was bringing against the NFL has been resolved because the NFL cut a check. And this was supposed to go in front of an arbitrator this month, and that is not going to happen. And a lot of people responding to that because, again, you're trying to figure out exactly what this means. What it means to me and what I'm taking from this, Mike, is that Colin Kaepernick, at the end of the day, exposed what a lot of people thought was not true. Because as an NFL owner, or if you're an NFL owner, just think about this for a second. Why would you even think twice about signing off on something like this unless there was damaging information that was going to be released?
Yeah, text messages, emails, again, people who had to give depositions leading up to what was going to be this arbitrator's decision. All of that stuff would be out there on the open record. I mean, media would have access to it if it proceeded. So here's the thing, though. There are unsubstantiated rumors out there, at least some NFL executives putting it out there to some people in the media that $60 million to $80 million could be the settlement, maybe more. I asked Carl this earlier. Colin Kaepernick, whatever his intentions were, and again, to bring calls to social injustice, what he thought was police brutality around the country, that is no doubt why he started it, Carl. But why, once you become a movement, and you have this, you become a thing where kids are wearing the jersey and you're standing for something. Why don't you take it the whole way, man? Do the last mile, get these guys on record. If there's owners out there, they put stuff out there, whether it was agendas about his decisions or whatever was out there, why don't you expose these people? And then you'll still probably get a big settlement anyway at the end of the day.
Hasn't he done that, though?
No, because now we're guessing. We don't know what happened. There's no smoking gun. We know there's a smoking gun, but we don't know specifically what happened.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is about public perception. You know, there's the court of public opinion, and we all are quick to jump to conclusions when these situations come about. But to me, the reasonable thinking here is that the NFL was guilty, and that's why they did this. But to your point, we won't know the specifics. Now, I will say this, Mike, and it's easy for us to sit here now once a check is cut, or will be, to say that this is a cop-out. But this is exhausting. This is, you know, and for us, and I'm saying me specifically, I've given up nothing. Have you given up anything? It's easy when you haven't given up anything to say, I can't believe he's giving up. I don't know if he was giving up. I think that once approached about this by counsel, you know, they come to the conclusion that, you know what, we can get past this. It's obvious by the NFL coming to this conclusion that they're going to basically cut a check to make us go away, and we continue our efforts with this movement. Now, that to me is the bigger thing. What will he do now? Because the NFL thing was a pipe dream for Cap. He wasn't going to play again, guys. He wasn't. And so if you're not playing again, that's why he's not, you know, he said, I'll take $20 million to play in the AFF. He's not going to play again. So you come to a conclusion on this. I think it's obvious. We will never know, or maybe we will as information leaks out.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do now? And to me, that's the bigger thing with Kaepernick, with this movement, as you talk about.
And he can spend his money any which way he wants. And don't forget, Eric Reed also gets a big part of this settlement. We don't know what percentage or how much he gets either. He just got a contract extension with the Carolina Panthers. But, guys, you know, he was.
And real quick, can I say this? Because a guy says he would get more money exposing the NFL. How?
The arbitrator is going to rule. If they prove there was you were harmed, there was obviously there was collusion. The arbitrator could rule for give you $150 million.
Yes. Okay.
You know, I mean, that's my point.
If it went to the end.
Okay. And all I'm saying is look, he tried to get a job with the Ravens. They were ready to sign and do the deal. His girlfriend makes comments about the owner, Biscotti, and also Ray Lewis. That comes to nothing. We had talked about Seattle kicking the tires. It never happened. But here's the deal with Kaepernick. You know, you and I have talked about it. Regardless of what you think about the stance or the blowback or how people perceive it, the guy was better than 90% of all the backups that were still working in 17 and 18. That's indisputable.
Fact.
But as far as Cap, what did – see, I'd love to – maybe we'll get that final big interview at some point. He'll do, you know, the two-hour dateline or whatever, where we'll finally hear what his true intentions were. Once you get a retainer from Nike, to your point, do you really want to play football? Are you just going to use this to blackmail the NFL? Did they do something? I'm sure there is some damning evidence out there in the form of conversations between owners, emails, et cetera. But we'll never know because now it's all supposition.
Yeah.
I just say if you're Kaepernick, you've created a movement. You've become iconic. You've got artists around the world, you know, praising you. You've got political figures talking about you. Why don't you see this thing through? Expose the man for the phony and the fraud he is.
Easy to say.
And, well,
it is.
To me, this is a sellout, Carl. This is a sellout.
It is. It's not a sellout, Mike, because you know what? We don't get here if he's not blackballed.
But we don't know.
This never happens if he's not blackballed.
We don't get the resolution. If these guys are screwing you, then put them out there. Get their names out there. Expose these owners that were screwing you.
Let me ask you this.
He sold out.
Let me ask you this. Would you cut the check if you didn't do anything?
Of course.
Would you cut the check if you didn't do
people
anything?
People cut checks all the time to make things
go away. Correct.
Sometimes because there's...
Correct.
Well, no, time out. Sometimes they don't want to deal with it. Sometimes it's no-win.
So the NFL doesn't want to deal with Kaepernick?
Talking about when guys pay off women, that happens all the time.
But this is different.
But why doesn't he take it to the limit?
Would you cut the check if you didn't do anything? If you're the National Football League, do you cut the check?
Yeah, but now it goes
away. The answer's no.
And now we've got a you've got an agreement. There's nothing that's ever going to come out. You got a non-disclosure. So, yeah, the NFL covered your butt. He's in a win-win. He's either going to make $80 million. He might make even more from an arbitrator. Why don't you see this through? I don't think Kaepernick has any clue what he's doing.
I don't know if it's a win-win.
I think he lost sight of this.
I don't think it's a win-win. When he loses the case, Mike. When he loses the case, how is it a win-win?
You're telling me the owners...
Because then he is a phony. Then that's when you say...
You're telling me the owners...
You know what? That is exactly what we expected.
You just told me the owners cut the check because they're guilty. If you're going to take this offer, why don't you see it through? No, I will not accept the $80
million.
So if
he goes through with it and doesn't win the case, then what happens?
How is he not?
Then what happens?
How is he not going to be innocent? I mean, how is he not going to win this case if you're telling me the owners are ready to settle right now?
Why cut the check? That's my question.
He's a sellout. This thing got bigger than he ever expected. He lost his way on this thing.
Get out of here. Now that's crap if I ever heard it. Who lost his way?
He
said I was blackballed from the NFL. There is collusion going on.
So you know what?
And then you know what happened?
You want to
let's get a case and let's sue the NFL. And the NFL then says, there's no collusion. What are you guys talking about? We would never do that.
Right.
Oh, you know what? We just had a huge incident happen with Kareem Hunt. This is a black guy. We need this to go away.
Right. You're a man of principle. You're a man of principle. Your lawyer comes to you and says, we're looking at a six-figure. We're looking at $60 to $80 million.
Man of principle? Get out of here.
Well, what the hell was this all about then?
Get out of here. This was about proving that there was collusion going on in the NFL.
He took a knee for a reason. He took a knee for a principle.
You know what? See it through.
This was about social injustice. This is a sellout.
If I've ever heard you speak. You bull crap. It's right now about this situation.
That's a total sellout, man. Come on.
I can't believe I've heard you say this.
I've had this guy's back for the entire rigmarole that this has been for 2 years.
And you should, because he got blackballed.
And he's not taking it to the arbitrator. He took the money and he ran. He's proved nothing. Everyone can guess what the owner said or did. And now we'll never know.
He didn't prove anything?
No, he's proved he's got $80 million.
He didn't prove anything?
Not in court, not with the arbitrator.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I forgot.
No.
We got to go to court to make sure that things are proven.
You want?
I'm sorry.
But if you are a movement, Carl, if this is a movement, don't you want to expose these guys? If these guys screwed you out of a job for 2 years, don't you want to put their name out there? If they've got stuff in writing blackballing you, don't you want to take it to the limit? And then you can still get the payoff. To me, this is the guy taking
this is a sellout. No, you're not. And that is a falsehood. That what you just said right there is not going to happen. The whole ordeal of exposing them and then getting a payoff. That doesn't. If it went to the end and it was proven, as you say, maybe he gets a bigger cut.
Maybe
it wasn't about that.
I had respect for this guy. I don't know what his goal was here.
What do you mean? His goal was to show that he was blackballed in the NFL.
We have a non-disclosure agreement. He can't talk about it. We don't know what happened.
You don't believe that.
I don't know what.
I'm asking you, do you believe that? Yes or no?
I certainly think there's a smoking gun, but in a court of law, I can only go with what I can prove. It's because I feel a way about something, or I think an owner is a racist, or I think an owner doesn't want to hear this guy's message out there, or the sales are being hurt. I don't know that's happening, but unless I can prove it.
You don't know.
Unless I can prove it.
Let me help you.
Well,
I know.
Oh, good.
Let me tell you.
Okay, so you know.
I know.
Which owner was it?
You know what?
Which
I know. And you know why I know, Mike?
Which owner was it?
You know why I know?
Which owner? Which general manager?
You know why I know? Because you say you can't prove it. How many things do we have to prove? Let me ask you this, Mike.
So we're going to just guess this went down?
Let me ask you this. Is there police brutality out there? Did you have to see a video to believe that it was going on?
Of course.
Did you have to see a video to believe it was going on?
No, I did not.
I know it's going on.
Yes.
Did you need to see a video?
Why are you yelling at me now?
I'm asking you a question. You're not answering any of my questions.
I know there's police brutality, but also there's 99.9% of the cops to do it the right way.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of crime on the streets.
Why are you yelling and on your soapbox right
that
now?
Requires
That's what I
cops to do their job in a very dangerous situation.
The answer is yes. You don't need proof, Mike. Things go on without you having a video, without you having court records. Things happen.
Why couldn't Kaepernick have taken this to the arbitrator? Why did we settle? Why did he take the money and not prove the point?
We'll hopefully find out. It's Dukes and Bell.
I don't know about you. Maybe we should take Monday off after stressing our voices.
Yeah, your voice was banged up all last week, and I've had vocal cord surgery. You know what? I think we're going to have to take Monday. Oh, it's President's Day.
It is. It is. So we'll be off anyway.
By the way, real quick, Carl, if you've been listening to the show over the years now, we've been together. This is our fifth football season. We'll be 5 years together in July. We rarely get that heated about something. We don't want to do that every day because we don't manufacture, you know, topics. We feel the way we feel.
Oh, you mean what they call play radio?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Who are you talking about, Cha-Cha? But no, we like to do it and keep it real. But it's funny, the response we got on Twitter and social media. Guys, we love each other. We respect each other. And
Absolutely.
Every now and again, we can have a real heated debate. So don't worry. It's not like we turned the mics off and we rolled around on the floor wailing at each other.
And another thing, you SOB. No, man, listen. here's the reality, and this is what I wish we could all do, is when the mics go off, continue to have dialogue and a conversation without punching somebody in the face.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's not the situation. But Mike feels how he feels. I feel how I feel. That hasn't changed. But at the end of the day, as we said, where does this go? And I think, you know, Mike Conte came in here, and he was like, you guys good? We're good. Thank you, Mike. but seriously, no. And Mike Conte came in, and we were talking about this, and Conte said, what changes now? And it's a great question. Mm. Meaning, does this happen again with the National Football League? What changes moving forward? And so, you know, there's still a lot of things to be answered. But, guys, we appreciate the feedback. That's what it's all about. We wouldn't be here without you guys, and this show is completely interactive. So if you have a comment or two, hit us up, man. Follow us on Twitter. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, right. C. Dukes, and the radio show Dukes and Bell 929.
And we will get to the dog report because that's the thing. We've talked about this. When the Kaepernick thing came up, it's tough because, you know, we had arguments, you know, everybody from, oh, he's disrespecting the military or my son's in the Marine Corps. And we have to explain, look, this is his position and not like Carl grew up in Texas. I grew up in Long Island. Okay. I've never had a problem when I've been pulled over by the cops. And believe me, I get pulled over a lot the way I drive. But I'm not an African-American living in the South. Okay. I'm not an African-American living in Detroit or upstate New York. I don't have the same experience. So I don't sit there and take for granted that other people have the same life experience that I do. That's always been my position on this.
Yeah.
You know, and well, knowing that I've got respect for the police because my family has been in law enforcement going back to like two generations. But there are some real idiots out there that don't do the job the right way. Just like there's some idiots out there that are causing all trouble in the first place. But when the man is trying to bring that cross, that intersection, Carl, of sports and social issues, some people just don't want to hear any of it. And we've tried to at least have a conversation where we can do it and not stop things in their tracks.
Yeah, I just think my comment there, and then we'll get to the dog report, it was, and this goes back to the Rodney King beating, okay? For those of you who are old enough, America was shocked. Black folks weren't, okay? And so when you talk about I need proof, sometimes things aren't on video. Sometimes they're not on tape. That don't mean they don't exist and it doesn't happen. So I that was my point about that. I totally agree with you, and we love the men and women in blue. It's certainly here in our city. They've embraced us. We've done a lot of things for the police officers here in our great city. So it's not about that. But let's not get caught up in, it didn't happen in the court of law. There's so much that goes on that there's no evidence of. And then when there finally is, people go, that really happens? Let's get to the dogs.
And Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, Brightbox Electrical. Get a backup generator, man. Who knows what Mother Nature's going to throw at us this spring? Make sure you've always got juice. 770-901-2500. Generators are run on natural gas. You don't throw a switch.
All right, guys. Anthony Edwards, it was news earlier in the week. Number one high school recruit making his decision to go to UGA. Deshaun Tate, who is our basketball guru. And by the way, this entire interview is up on the website at 929thegame.com. You can check it out. He had a chance to sit and talk with Anthony Edwards, and he asked him, why did you choose Athens?
It's my home. I have family My sister just had my nephew. I want him to be able to see me play. I want to be able to see him grow up. And Tom Crean's a great dude. He's great with player development. And he had two of my favorite of all time players of all time.
And, of course, he's talking about Dwayne Wade being one of those guys.
Right.
We said this, and I think it was a coup for Tom Crean to say, and I think it is, hey, I helped coach that guy, and I helped get him there. You know, we talked about Victor Oladipo as well at Indiana. Crean has a history of putting guys in the NBA, and that certainly helps. And that was an allure for Anthony Edwards, who also said to DeShaun Tate that staying close to home, having his family be around, was important.
It was a big deal because I know – a lot of people wanted to see me play, and I don't want to be like everyone else and go to those schools, get coached by those guys, and just be another one of those players. I want to be somebody that a school's going to remember, so that's why I chose Georgia.
Listen, I think dog fans are happy about this, and you should be. We said it. We understand football's king, and it will be. But right. Why can't these coexist, Mike? Why can't you have a great basketball program? You know, we saw Florida do it when they won national championships and have the football program rolling, and I think that's what Tom Crean wants to get done. Even though Anthony Edwards may be a one-and-done kid.
Well, that's just it. And it's a shame because two ways of looking at it. You hope that you can get to the tournament and make a run. We've seen teams do it with the one guy being that big difference. And aside from Tom's comments about the guys he inherited from Mark Fox, can you build off this and then get and become make Georgia sexy in basketball? For the only time it happened where it was sustainable and it was real and organic was Tubby Smith.
Yeah.
Herrick obviously was here under false pretenses and the thing came off the rails. Dennis Felton was a disaster. Jurso was a disaster after Tubb. They've just never had a consistent way to get this thing rolling. And to be quite honest, it's a top-heavy SEC. And now other teams are finally starting to get cooking, like LSU now. So now is the time. You saw Auburn with Bruce Pearl, Alabama with Avery. So you better get in the basketball business because otherwise you're missing the train.
I think this is a better basketball conference now than it's been. I mean, Pearl's got them going in Auburn. You're right. Tennessee, right? Kentucky, still Kentucky, even though they're not as feared as they've been in the last few years. Mm. If Georgia can get it going, it could be something where people are paying more attention to SEC basketball. With that said, Anthony Edwards with DeShaun Tate. It's on the website at 929thegame.com. Talking about, are you bringing anybody else with you? Are you recruiting other guys to come to Georgia?
Yeah, I got two players that I'm trying to get to come play with me. Yeah, Preston Yetur and I don't know his whole name. I just know his first name, Cortez, but he goes to IMG.
Wow. All right. And you know these big-time players, man, they know each other. They play against each other in these leagues, the summer leagues and, you know, the sneaker leagues and all this stuff. I'd love to see that happen. I think we talked about this when Kirby had his number one recruiting class last year with the Justin Fields stuff. And everybody's like, you're going to Georgia? I'm going to Georgia. You're going to Georgia?
Right.
And everybody started jumping in. Maybe that happens with Anthony Edwards. I know a lot of these kids have already committed, but if he's able to get a couple more guys to come with him, then maybe they can make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our Dog Report, guys. Brought to you again by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500. Get that man cave you always wanted. Call him today.
All right, football news. Mike, when is Kirby going to name a DC? Seth Emerson writes that whenever he does, it'll probably be in-house.
Okay.
Now, remember, they stayed in-house with the offensive coordinator situation with James Coley, and he's promoted to the OC. So what's going to happen with the DC? And Seth Emerson writing that at some point there probably will be a decision, but I don't know if Kirby's in any rush to do that at this point. He says the assistant coaching carousel also isn't complete. Kentucky, Florida, we've seen that this week. So he talks about the fact that, you know, you might see some more movement around the SEC, but he still expects guys in-house, Coach Lanning, Coach Schumann, to be the guys that ultimately Kirby Smart chooses.
And they'll get a raise. It's just so funny how for years Mark Richt would actually come out of his own pocket, right?
He'd
basically take him out of his own salary to get his assistants paid. And basically Kirby's got a blank check because those guys are going to get a bump if they get that advance to the role of defensive coordinator. Real quick, though, with Dan Quinn, I know it's different at the pro level, but Quinn's taking over the defense with the Falcons. Do you worry if you're a dog fan that, you know, you don't want Kirby doing that and all the other things you got to do? Dabo delegates. A lot of coaches are CEOs now in successful programs.
Yeah, listen, I think this is a big task when you start saying, I'm going to run the defense. A lot of people think Kirby was running it anyway. Mel Tucker was running it. Mel Tucker wouldn't have gotten the job that he got at Colorado if he wasn't an established, very good coordinator and able to show, and certainly Kirby going to bat for him, Mike, and saying, listen, this guy's been running everything. I've been involved, and right. I think Kirby said this to us. it's good to know that I don't have to be in every meeting because I have a guy that understands exactly what we want. So I don't know if he wants to take that on and that extra responsibility.
Well, it's funny. I just heard from Samuel Tarly in my left ear that just as we're speaking, maybe Seth Emerson was listening out in Athens. Word coming down that Dan Lanning will be the defensive coordinator for the Georgia Bulldogs and get that aforementioned bump in salary, I would imagine. So Lanning to be the D.C., Coley your O.C., Kirby the H.C., keep it on the Q.T.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our dog report. So there it is. And that just came down, Sam. All right. So Coach Lanning, good job. And let's see where this defense goes. Here's the deal, though, guys. Offensively, they're not changing their philosophy. They're still going to be, you know, run the football. You've got some great running backs. You've got a much more experienced quarterback in Fromm. Mike, I think the difference for the Dogs this year could be that wide receiving core. And I think we're going to be talking a lot about it in the offseason. The size, the athleticism, and the playmaking ability. What we saw with Clemson and what they did this year, the Dogs could create that with bigger guys outside and certainly playmakers outside. Hey, we've got a lot more to get to, guys, including more NFL conversation. We've been waiting to hear, and we've not heard anything yet, about the possibility of Bryce Harper signing today. You think this was just one of those false reports, or you think that there's something there?
Well, I mean, the rumors, it's like the way media covers sports now, you know, we've talked about it, whether it's from like the smaller websites and then the rumor mongers and all that. But earlier today, it was out there on MLB.com that by 3 o'clock, it looks like Bryce Harper was going to be a Philly, as we said. Perhaps that's Pacific time. Either way, you still got Machado on the float, and you still got Harper out there. The Braves obviously have no intention of being involved with either one. But then the thing that makes sense is Kimbrel. And if Kimbrel's in Orlando, would he stop by Disney World, you know, go say hi to Mickey, and then go, more importantly, say hi to Alex Anthopoulos?
I hope. I know that, you know, rumors start like that when you hear that a guy is in the proximity of the training facility of a club, and you go, well, he has to be down there for the Braves. I hope he is. I just don't know if he's going to ultimately sign. But I do know this, Mike. If they do sign him, it's going to be a lot less than what he was asking for. Craig Kimbrel was asking upwards of $60 million to maybe re-sign with the Red Sox, and that's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen here either. But that means we get him at a discounted rate, and I hope that's the case. So if that plays out, we'll let you guys know. We've got Steve Koonin who's going to join us. We got NBA All-Star Weekend. Mm-hmm. Our man, Trey Young, John Collins, both participating in All-Star Weekend. We'll catch up with Steve Koonin, the Hawks CEO, next. All right, guys, it is All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend, and we get a chance to visit with the Hawks CEO, Steve Koonin, on a weekly basis. And, Steve, this is an exciting time on many levels. I mean, we got guys participating in the weekend, obviously the league showcasing its stars. And, you know, it's always fun to get a chance to watch all the activities going on in and around surrounding All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, it's great, and especially to have two of our young guys participating both Friday and Saturday night is very fulfilling. And, you know, it's part of the plan working towards the future. So tonight, the Future Stars game with John Collins and Trey, and then tomorrow, John and the Slam Dunk, which I did go see him this week and offered some advice. I told him I have a 3.5-inch vertical. And he actually said my 3.5-inch vertical added to his could actually help.
Did you put back the photo of you dunking for the Slam Dunk contest?
No, I did not.
Oh, come on.
I forgot.
All right. Well, do it today for crying out loud. Steve's got a really funny avatar
I'll
on his Twitter.
If he wins, I will make it my avatar.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the upside, Carl put a poll question up earlier saying now that we got the All-Star Weekend, Trae Young, what's he going to be? Just a good player? Nah, not convinced. 67% of our audience says he will be an NBA star, and we agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has played really, really well lately. And we forget the point guard position in the NBA, possibly the only other position in sports close to it is a quarterback. Mm. And there's not a lot of rookie quarterbacks playing at this kind of level.
Steve, what do you make of, if anything, the comments or at least the rumors out there about Adam Silver being approached by NFL owners? I know Adam talked about this and said he really hasn't thought about it, but this is fascinating that the owner of the NBA, or excuse me, the commissioner of the NBA is doing such a great job that you've got another league that, you know, is arguably the most popular league in our country seeking out his potential help.
Well, if I didn't think it was impossible, I actually feel a little sorry for Roger Goodell. You know, Adam's done a great job. The NBA has almost doubled in revenue under his leadership, but more importantly, he's just so with it. He gets it. You know, our players are free to express themselves. Our players are superstars. And a lot of the problems that have plagued the NFL have truly not plagued the NBA. So I think it was a nice, probably fairly embarrassing compliment to Adam, but he certainly, certainly should be recognized for the leadership that he's brought the league.
You know, Steve, in light of the Kaepernick settlement coming out today, you got to know the NFL owners were obviously briefed on where this was going. And obviously there were some NFL owners who said everything you just touched on. Labor issues, not a problem. Social stance, not a problem. Consistency, always what Adam Silver stands for. None of the things that Roger Goodell seems to do. So that might have been a harbinger of knowing that this cap thing was going to go down.
Well, I just think it was Adam was on stage kind of with the State of the Union, and it leaked out. Remember, Adam didn't say, hey, guys, people have been calling me lately looking for jobs. And he signed a new contract, so it certainly wasn't a money play. I just think, you know, there's a very small fraternity of people who are commissioners of sports. And of the major sports, you have both Gary Bettman in hockey and Adam Silver, both coming from David Stern's tutorage, if that was such a word.
It is. Yeah, I just, you know, again, I don't know if anything comes of this. It's just like, wow, that's pretty impressive. I would not leave if I'm Adam Silver.
Adam Silver's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Adam Silver's not going anywhere. He is, like I said, he signed a new contract, and he's doing a phenomenal job.
It is Steve Kooning, guys, Hawks CEO here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, big guy. It was Party Central at State Farm during Super Bowl week. I presume you're going to roll up 85 in a stretch limo, and you'll be partying because the All-Star weekend is always a big hoop.
Oh, Mike, you know me so well. I thought we'd possibly take a Hummer extension limo. You know, stop by, pick up a few ladies. Yeah, right.
You're going up to Charlotte, though. You're going to be there, right?
I'm going to go cheer for our guys, absolutely, but in a much more low-key, non-intrusive fashion as you would recommend.
All right. Steve, how do you deal with this tampering, if in fact there is tampering? You know, you've got LeBron showing up at Zion's game, and everybody's like, whoa, what's going on? No. You've got players in the league, you know, who are saying they'd love to have guys. What do you consider tampering and not tampering? If you ask me, if I ask a guy about another player in the league and he answers that question, it's not tampering.
I can, first of all, players are exempt from tampering because they have things called friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys have played since AAU. And LeBron could go to every single Duke game possible, but his team's not going to be able to sign them because I don't think he's going to be available with the Lakers pick. So I don't make much of it. We know that James Harden recruited Chris Paul. We know that our guys, you know, who are up at All-Star are going to be talking to other players. And, hey, how's Atlanta? You know, Jeremy Lin left this week and wrote a really, really fabulous tweet that he thanked the wrestlers and talked about the organization and how impressed. And word gets around the league, but we all know the number one driver that brings a player to town are other players.
That's for sure. That's what we're trying to get to, man. That's what we've talked about. I mean, it all starts with having, first off, a guy like John Collins, a guy like Trey. And one of the things that we heard from Lloyd Pierce and also from Schlenk this week was, you know, he's becoming more comfortable in that leadership role, you know, because he's still a young guy. He's only 19.
Absolutely. Look at the year John Collins is having. And 90% of it is attributable to John. But Trey being able to put the ball in some of those places absolutely is getting him, you know, more scoring and getting him more recognition and increasing his percentage. And the ability to share and be unselfish is what builds championships. Look at Golden State.
You've done this on the TV side or at least been a part of it. What's the hardest part about putting on All-Star Weekend from a broadcast standpoint and making sure that it gets out to the public the way it should?
The truth of the matter is, until they really kind of reformatted this game with captains, it was boring. I mean,
right.
It was like watching paint dry. And the players really got energized with this kind of pickup playground game. And it is a celebration of the league. It's a celebration of the talent. I don't think anybody's going to bed Saturday night at 10 o'clock to prepare for the next night's game. But I do believe that these guys really want to show well, and I do think that the NBA's done a fine job of reinventing it. But, you know, it's hard. We broadcast at Turner Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, And Saturday night, a great slam dunk contest could be the most compelling thing. Mm. This year, the three-point shootout's got the Curry brothers, and it's got Dirk, and it's, you know, it's got some really strong pieces of it. But it's great when it all comes together, and hopefully we see, you know, a good game, not just a fourth-quarter game. But it is a celebration of the league. It truly is a celebration of what the NBA is. And we have a tremendous amount of stars. And, you know, anytime Anthony Davis passes the ball to LeBron, there's going to be stuff to talk about. And I love that we're part of a soap opera.
All right.
Makes it fun.
Let's talk about where it's really what it's all about, big guy. Over-under on this is now set at 310.5, in case you're wondering, guys. All-Star game was 148 to 145 last year, 192, 182 2 years ago. And in case you're also wondering, it is Team LeBron minus six over Team Giannis.
So let me get this right. You're asking an NBA team executive who to gamble on.
No, I've got a guy. Carl and I have a guy who owns a car wash in town who says you always bet the over in
the
All-Star game.
We got a guy.
I'm just curious. Hey, have you any feeling about that?
You go with your guy.
All right.
What is it, 310?
It is 310.5.
First of all, if you're going to bet on the NBA All-Star game, I definitely think that there should be some kind of therapy / medication involved. Second of all, I think the over is always a pretty interesting bet.
Nice. Steve Koonin, enjoy the weekend. We're excited about Trey. I've already seen some highlights of stuff he's been doing there in Charlotte. And we had John Collins on the show earlier this week, and John was like, look, I'm going to go and represent Atlanta the best way I can, and hopefully, you know, he can win this slam dunk thing. And if not, listen, it's going to be a lot of fun watching him.
It's going to be great, and I think you're going to see Trey and John on the court tomorrow night together with something special that, you know, we've been working on, the three of us.
Very cool.
Don't forget, he's had Vince and Dominique to make him crazy all week.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Make him crazy.
Can you imagine having two of the all-time best dunkers around you constantly like that and in your ear? Hey, Steve, enjoy, be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, be well.
That's our man, Puffy K. Steve Koonin, brought to you by Kumho Tires, joins us every week. It's pretty cool you get a chance to talk to the team president on a weekly basis and lots of cool things. Now, again, not losing to the Knicks. We're not even going to talk about that.
No.
A lot of other good things are happening.
All right, guys, Falcon Report is on the way. Also, our big story. Wonder what that is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.